Arlene's ready. We were waiting for Kristen, but Arlene, yeah, we'll just get through the preliminary stuff first. So we got Steve Carrera, Danny Tai Ting Fong, Steve Hollister here. Yep, right there. Okay, we'll get started. Good afternoon. This is the Guam EPA Board of Directors regular meeting. Today's day is August 17, 2023. The approximate time is 4 o'clock p.m., and this meeting is being recorded. We'll do the roll call here. Stephen Carbolito.
Fran Castro.
And Arlene, you want to do?
Sure. Attending virtually, Vice Chairman Stephen Carrera. Please turn
present,
on your camera.
Calling from Timuning.
Please turn on your camera.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that.
Director Stephen
present,
Hollister.
Present calling from Timuning.
Thank you.
Present calling from Agate.
Thank you. Director Danny Tai Ting Fong.
Afre, present from Aganya.
Thank you. Director Dave Duenas is not here. We have quorum.
Sounds good. Hearing that the notice publication went out, we have quorum. Let's get this meeting started. We have Mr. Irvin from GSWA here, so we'll tackle the item on the agenda from him first. But other than that, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Next one, approval of the July meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of June 20, 2023.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? Does anyone need more time? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. No nays. So before we get to the administrator's report, there is an item on the agenda, GSWA's request for reimbursement. So previously, we discussed this, and we received a letter noting that they've incurred the costs or they've spent the money. So Mr. Irvin, is there anything you want to say or present right now?
No, we covered most of the issues in the April meeting, and this is just a follow through with the cost to date. Those include the end of July. So we're showing $403,069 and some odd change.
All right. Yep. Thank you. I don't have any questions or comments. And if nobody else does, is there a motion?
So the balance is 403, but we can only reimburse 400,000 according to the law, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the reimbursement.
All right. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
All right. Any discussion?
Do you want him to read the thing?
I'm fine.
He's fine.
All right. Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Hearing none. Motion passes. Thank you, Irvin.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. On our agenda, we can go to the administrator's report.
Hi, half a day and good afternoon, Board of Directors. I'm delivering the administrator's report on behalf of our administrator, Michelle Lastimosa, who is on travel at the California Resource Recovery Association conference. So she is due back on island the evening of August 22nd. So with personnel matters, We still continue to review resumes and applications for our LTAs, you know, funded by the ARPA money. The Air and Land Administrator interviews are complete and selection is forthcoming. Additionally, as you heard in the last meeting, we had the Governor's Youth Summer Employment Program all the way through August 4th. Approximately 25 kids, you know, came to the agency for youth employment. Same as last summer, they were spread out through the different programs to get exposure to the type of work that the agency is involved with. In terms of the budget or procurement updates, we continue to meet with our FEMA public assistance public assistance program manager. So these meetings occur weekly, and this is just for us to. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Danny has.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries. He's muted.
Yeah, so the weekly meetings with our FEMA public assistant program manager cover things like asset and equipment replacement, force account labor, which is going to cover which we hope will cover our labor for staffing at the disaster debris sites, as well as other malware recovery associated costs. So that process is moving along smooth, and you know, we hope to have the application completed soon. As you're aware, we used our property up in Dededo as you know, for the malware debris disposal site. The administrator is part of the disaster debris task force, and in those meetings, she always makes it a point to ensure that you know, cleanup at that site is prioritized, so that US EPA START team can start making their start performing their cleanup activity over there. From what I've heard in the meetings, the household trash in that area has already been removed, so now they're just concentrating on clean and dirty white goods, which are going to be processed and sent, you know, to the recycling facility down the road from us. In terms of policy, nothing significant to report since the last board meeting. No new bills have been introduced that will be impacting the agency, and public hearings where we offer testimony on previously introduced bills are, you know, already taking place. Moving over to our programs, projects, and partnerships, Guam EPA participated at the 31st Pacific Island Environment Conference in Palau. This was the week of July 31st through August 4th. We had some of our programs present, you know, on behalf of the island. Some of the presentations include a zero waste management plan, our abandoned derelict vessel removal project, and safe drinking water. Next month in September, first week of September, we'll be participating at the AWWA conference, the 2023 Western Pacific Water and Wastewater Conference. Agency personnel from the Water Division will be providing presentations for PFAS and Typhoon Emergency Response, and a panel will be composed for public water system planning for potential upcoming regulations on PFAS. Tomorrow is the deadline for scoping comments for the proposed Enhanced Integrated Air and Missile Defense System on Guam. The agency did work on comments that will be part of a unified comment document submitted by the government of Guam. So there was a July 12 press release issued by the governor's office that spoke about this. And so those comments have already been provided to the governor's office for inclusion in that document. Next week, we have our safe drinking water manager, Amanda Quay from US EPA. She'll be on island for that for the week. She's going to be meeting with us, some other federal agencies, as well as GWA. From what I understand, she will be touring drinking water facilities, and you know, some of her primary discussion points will be mainly about PFAS and safe drinking water work planning. Last item on the administrator's report is this chemical disposal roundup project. So during the recovery phase of Typhoon Mawar, US EPA was involved with household hazardous waste disposal. Part of that mission was also to get an inventory of lab waste and chemicals at different school facilities and government buildings. The hope was to get those items removed and shipped off island during the recovery phase, but that wasn't completed. Region 9 still has committed to completing the project. We just have to take a different approach, and that approach starts with the request for assistance to be sent to Region 9. That request letter has already been drafted, and it will be sent out in the next few days. So we did provide contact information to some of the Superfund and emergency response personnel that were on island so that they could build that inventory. So some of the places that will be addressed are Academy of Our Lady of Guam, GCC, our own lab here in Tizen, GWA, Notre Dame High School, St. John's School, Southern High School, and the University of Guam. Okay, subject to any of your questions, that completes the administrator's report.
All right, thank you, Nick.
Okay.
Any board members have questions or comments?
I have none.
Anyone from the public? So I have a few. So the RRF plan for 2024, we usually discuss funding. And so right now, obviously, the legislature is in budget season. So depending on what they roll, usually they only discuss the MCOG program. So for the next meeting, have the numbers in place on what would be on the budget list for the RRF for next year. We haven't utilized one of the other programs in the RRF list, but let's at least get funding for what we want to and if it's utilized or not.
Mm-hmm. Can do.
Thank you. Okay, and then also in the board packet is a document from the agency. And so this is in follow-up to our meeting, two meetings ago, in regards to modernizing the Toilet Facilities and Sewage Disposal Act.
Chair, it looks like this, Director Hollister.
So that's in our packet. And so we'll go to Brian, who's going to speak. But before that, go ahead, Director Hollister.
Yeah, I was wondering if... for the wastewater, where is that? Yeah, the AWWA Water and Wastewater Conference, where is that? Is that going to be on Guam?
Yes, I believe it's going to be at the Hilton, but if Brian's available, maybe he can speak a little more to that.
Yeah, thanks. This is Brian Bearden. Yes, it's going to be at the Hyatt, I believe.
Would it be possible for us to attend?
Anybody can attend, but there's a cost. It's a fairly expensive conference to put on. I think it's like around $180 for a non-AWWA member.
Okay, thank you. And then my second question is, when Ms. Key comes in, Amanda Key, is it possible to meet with her?
Look at her
itinerary. Yeah, Brian. Yeah, Brian. Do you know if we could accommodate that with Amanda?
I'm sure we could probably fit something in as long as that's okay with board rules and such. But we need to know, we'll have to just work that out with you guys, what day and time. We've already got an agenda, so we'll have to squeeze it in. It's a pretty packed agenda, but, we should be able to fit something in. We do have some meet and greets with the administrator so it's possible it could be combined with that. I think that's Monday morning.
Okay.
I would just be curious to pick her brain about what she thinks about our next topic that we're going to be talking about here in a minute.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so we could see if she can entertain that with the in briefing.
Right, maybe, then we'll just check with Kristen as far as the board, like the rules, like
okay.
Is it allowed or, because it's discussion outside of the board meeting.
Okay. Yeah, Director Hollister, we'll work on making that happen, and
yeah.
if we're not able to accommodate that, we can reach out to the board.
Yeah.
Oh. One thing we didn't go over are NOVs.
Oh, shoot. Sorry, Captain Bearden can speak on some NOV updates as well as. Do you have any attending?
Yeah, for the NOVs for the Solid Waste Management Program, they continue to pay into the notice of violation fees. The sites have been closed with the exception of Verona. Verona is still open, and since the typhoon, everything's kind of been placed on hold. We're playing catch up right now with a lot of our permits, our plan reviews. So that's stuff that we still need to work on trying to figure out.
Okay. And I'll speak for the ones with the board. So Arlene jumped in, but I think there's three with the board, and that's Primo, Samsung, and J001B. Is that the right
yes.
numbering?
That's the Cortec NOV, the J755.
Oh, 755, J755. Oh, it's on the bottom.
Yeah.
So those three have been appealed, and it is my understanding that none of them are currently going to a hearing, but the board has a hearing officer in place who's administratively working on these three, right, with the attorneys?
For the two only, the Primos and the Samsung, the AG's office has not gotten back to me whether they assigned one for Cortec.
Okay.
It's just for the two for now.
So we'll follow up on that one for the next meeting.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Water?
At the last meeting, Brian said that they were trying to coordinate a final inspection. I was just wondering if that they set a date already for that.
That's for Samsung, Brian?
Yeah, so no, we have not set a date yet. We did email them. They did respond by email, and they wanted to talk to us over the phone. We haven't gotten that phone conversation with them yet. So I don't have a date, but we are following up on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Water NOV update.
That's Brian.
There's another water NOV, and I'm not sure if it got listed last month or not. Do you have the U.S. Navy drinking water system NOV? Because they did request a hearing also.
No, that was not part of last month's NOV.
So do you have, was that forwarded to you?
No.
So the board has nothing regarding that NOV.
I guess I didn't get reported out last month. That was it was an E. coli positive hit in the water distribution system followed by a total coliform positive. So it was a coliform, back to a microbiological MCL violation. It's a violation by any terms, but Navy Base Guam has appealed or asked for a hearing. And I believe they do want to meet with us first to see if they can work out something different, but that meeting hasn't occurred yet. But they have requested a hearing.
Brian, can you send me the NOV and also the appeal for that and also for the J755? We haven't received anything on those either.
J755 is all on our website. It's all over a year old. I'm not sure if the Navy NOV is made it to our website yet. I have to go back and check.
I'm looking at it now.
We have the J755, so I'll work with you.
Okay.
So that needs to get to the hearing officer. Well, it was with an attorney, and then I guess when the year ends, it has to go to the next attorney.
Okay.
So, but the new NOV that we're talking about, Arlene should have the appeal document with her.
Right, and the NOB.
So Arlene brought that to our attorney as well. Okay, so sounds like those are all the NOVs. With that, we'll go to the next topic, which is discussion on septic lot sizes and potential changes to rules and regs. So I'll introduce it. So yeah, Brian and Guam EPA have provided this document that was requested 2 meetings ago. So we got it just before this meeting, and I believe, Brian, was your intention to go through a PowerPoint presentation right now?
No, I wasn't prepared for that, but we could walk through the document if you would like.
Okay, and if anything, we got the PowerPoint a couple months ago, so. Yeah, so I guess kind of, can you walk through it and like say like item one, like this is the story behind it and Guam EPA recommends so-and-so?
Sure, how about I just share, do you want us to share an image of the Word document that you're looking at? That's what I've got.
I have it in front of me, I mean, I'm good.
Okay, well, for folks that are not in the room, do you want me to share an image of the Word file?
For the ones attending virtually.
Yes, no.
That might be easier.
Yeah.
He's asking if you want him to
put
it up.
Okay, then why don't I do that, unless there's any objection. Okay, can you guys see this? Is this visible to everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
On our side.
Okay, so I'll just go ahead and start. I won't necessarily read through it. You can read through it yourselves, but the first part talks about the limitations of the existing law, which is the 10 GCA Chapter 48, the Toilet Facilities and Sewage Disposal Act. And the first limitation that this our recommendations address are the three types of toilet facilities that the law considers, and that's, you know, a very limited selection for any purpose. You know, one being toilets flush with water and connect to public sewer. The other being toilets flush with water and connected to a septic tank and a leaching system, which is a very prescriptive, limited option. And then the third type being a privy, which would be like a pit toilet, which are essentially restricted for almost every use, so it's not really an option. You know, there's a lot that the law was enacted back in, was this 36 years ago? And there's a lot more options available these days. So the Guam EPA recommendation, which you can see there in the next paragraph, would be to amend the law, not the regulation, but to amend the law to broaden the definition of what they're calling the type 2 system, which is that septic tank connected to a leaching field, to include a fairly wide variety of system options that we've taken from the International Private Sewage Disposal Code definition of a private sewage disposal system, which that would include such things as holding tanks, advanced systems, and other types of systems. So that would become a new revised definition of a type 2 system. We're also recommending that the law be amended to add a fourth type of toilet facility, and the reason for this is so that we can address some of the other problems. And that type 4 toilet facility would be defined as an advanced nitrogen-reducing on-site wastewater treatment system holding NSF 245 certification. And that's the certification that's it's a performance specification that requires at least a minimum 50% removal rate for nitrogen. Let's see. Then we move into the next
here,
set of points.
Can we pause right here? Go ahead, Steve Hollister.
Ryan, is that then the compost toilet you're talking about?
Yeah, that does include compost toilets. So if you look at the International Private Sewage Disposal Code, the latest version that we would recommend to use for that, for taking that definition, that does include, I think they call it waterless or dry toilet systems, and that encompasses composting toilets as well as a few other toilet types, which I've seen used, such as incinerating toilets and things like that. But I think composting toilets are the main ones that people use these days.
Okay,
go ahead.
So right now the law allows three. So now we want to include holding tanks, advanced systems, and advanced nitrogen reducing. So currently these three new things that are being proposed to be included, you're not allowed to permit them. That's correct?
Yeah, that's correct, and that's because of the very narrow definition of what a type 2 system is, of being just a septic tank connected to a leaching system. And so we don't want to add five different new types of toilet facilities. We just want to change the definition of the type 2 system to be more broad, and we're using the International Private Sewage Disposal Code, which, as I mentioned before, has actually already been adopted by Guam. Under the building law, but it cannot be implemented because it conflicts with Guam EPA's laws. So this just makes it consistent with that, which is it's by the same folks that do the building codes and stuff. It's a good, well thought out system.
Okay.
And then the only new type we want to add is that type 4, and I'll get into the reason for that in a minute, and that's just to make sure that we provide this other option for smaller lots.
So if the law gets changed, to add these type 2s, do you still have to do rules and regs, or is it already done with the national standard?
We would need to do rules and regulations as well. When we were working with Senator Perez's office last year on draft bills, we had come up with a way to do some interim permitting before the regulations were out, which would allow immediate ability to permit at least the type 4 systems and the holding tanks, because those are the ones that are holding up quite a few individual property owners' ability to build their homes. So we had worked with her to come up with some structure that would allow sort of an interim permitting process. That's not covered in this memo to you guys, so that's more of a mechanical thing that would be something that would have to go with a bill. It's not really the policy piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then do you want to speak on the last one, the nitrogen reducing treatment system?
Yeah, so that would be the one that we would add as a type 4 system. And again, as we go down the page here, it'll become more clear why we want to separate that out as a different type. But these are systems that have, you know, an advanced level of treatment that specifically reduces the nitrogen output of the septic system. And the purpose for that is to try to limit the degradation of groundwater in terms of nitrate. You know, nitrate's the main chemical that we look at to look for traces of sewage in groundwater. And it's regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. And it's the chemical we're seeing across Guam that is rising in the groundwater. And in some parts, in one part of Guam now already, I believe it's Attakow area, it's already exceeded the half MCO, which triggers additional expense and monitoring requirements for GWA. So that's the purpose of that device there, is to make sure that we have an option, at least in areas that are more densely developed, to do so in a way that has less impact. And I can show you guys, I do have our old presentation, which had a schematic of one of those types of systems, if you'd like to see that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hang on. Let me set that up for you guys. Okay, I got it here. Whoops. Thank you. Okay, can you see that?
Barely, not really.
I'm sorry. It's probably a little bit too complex of a slide to show in this format, but what you see there going from left to right is basically a septic tank on the left, protected to some extent by what's called an effluent screen on the outlet pipe, which is as you move again toward the right. And then that pipe goes into the actual treatment system itself. And this particular one, there's a lot of different varieties of these. This is one, I forget the name of the company that creates, that manufactures this one. But it holds some of that wastewater in the bottom of that tank, and it's got a pumping system that will periodically pump some of that wastewater up to the top of the tank and let it trickle through a bunch of sheets of what they call a media filter. It's basically a bunch of strips of fabric that have that over time they grow a biofilm on them, which has a lot of bacteria and other microorganisms that treat the wastewater. And by adjusting the timing of that pumping cycle, you can get periods where the wastewater is oxygenated, is exposed to oxygen, and then periods where it sits in the deep water down below there and loses all oxygen and goes into what's called an anoxic condition. And that's where you start to get rid of the nitrogen. So it's a much more complicated system than a septic tank, but it's a relatively simple system as far as wastewater treatment goes. And the only real moving part is that pump, and then the electrical component, the electrical system that has to control that pump. So that is what, as a typical NSF 245 certified nitrogen reducing advanced treatment system. Questions, happy to answer, or try to answer.
Yeah, and then you have to maintain the filters.
Yeah, it does require a certain amount of maintenance. And this is a concern for us, and we'll get into that with this next section of our recommendations to you. And our Guam EPA's recommendation for ensuring that these things get maintained properly is to change the law to allow for operation permits and to require those to be renewed on a regular basis. We're recommending annual. So the idea would be that if somebody gets one of these systems, they get an annual operating permit, and one of the conditions of that permit to even get that permit is that they have to turn in a maintenance contract with a qualified maintenance contractor. Typically, and this is something they do elsewhere in the country as well, a kind of a model law type of a solution. And typically that contractor is the same company that installs these systems. They're usually authorized by the company that manufactures these systems. So they've been trained and they know what to do. They keep the parts in stock that they need. Some of these systems are more sophisticated than others. Some of them even have, you know, an internet interface so that they can be monitored by the homeowner or the maintenance company and see when something goes wrong quicker. At a bare minimum, all of these systems have a system of warning lights and alarms if something does go wrong, that the homeowner will at least see the warning light or hear the alarm. But the idea to try to make sure that these things get maintained properly would again be to put that burden on the homeowner by requiring them to have a maintenance contract.
How deep is this?
How did you say how deep? Like how many feet deep is the installation?
Yeah. Like the pump is pumping like 8 feet up or something?
No, I mean, you can see in the diagram there, it's really no deeper than a standard septic tank. A standard septic tank is about 6 feet deep. You can go 5-6 feet deep. So it's about 5 or 6 feet deep.
Okay.
And I think that pump elevation is probably about that.
Okay.
This is just
for
like,
and then from
there
it has to be pumped to the leaching field also. So there's actually usually two pumps in these systems, one for recirculating and one for pumping to the leaching field. And there are other types of treatment systems as well that use aeration and have blowers in addition to pumps. But this particular one just uses pumps only. It's a little bit simpler.
Brian has a question. What kind of people would apply for this? Is it like residents or businesses?
Well, as we go through the recommendations, we'll explain what this is really intended for. And again, this is intended for those smaller lots that are smaller than the size currently. allowed for septic tanks under the existing Guam law. So this would be for residential homes on a quarter acre lot.
Okay.
And there's any quarter acre parental lots or decedent lot. This is something that, of course, the board needs to discuss, but I can get into that a little bit later and pose those questions to you.
Do you have a slide on holding tanks and the other advanced systems?
Do I have a slide on what? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Holding tanks? No, I do not.
Okay. Do you want to describe that for anyone else?
Sure. I mean, if you just look at the same diagram, you just picture a holding tank as the septic tank here on the left side with no outlet and a float that triggers an alarm when it gets above a certain level so that the owner knows it's time to call the pumping company to come pump it out. So a holding tank is basically just a watertight tank that holds all of your sewage, and it has to be pumped out on a regular basis. And typically, that's about once a week, maybe twice a week if it's sized correctly. It's a very expensive type of system to run because having a haul truck come out, pick up your sewage, and haul it off to the sewer system is, I think, you know, it's in the hundreds of dollars per trip typically.
$25 an hour.
I think that, you know, it's not a very desirable solution. Where I was in Alaska, a lot of people had that. It was a way to live in certain parts where you could not install a septic system. And I had a few friends that lived in homes. I almost bought a home that had one of those types of systems. And when you live in a home like that, you do a lot of things to minimize your costs, like not taking showers for 3 or 4 days or reusing your dishwashing water. So it's not a real ideal system, but in some cases it is the only option.
Mm-hmm. Brian, is this just for like new homes moving forward, or I'm just kind of concerned about how much we're going to burden the public with something like this.
So again, we haven't gotten to that part of the memo yet, so I'll just jump into it.
Wait, hold on. Well, let's just wrap this one up first. Can we talk about, can you describe advanced systems that are type 2?
It would be systems similar to this. Some people might want to install something like this on a regular lot where they're not required to, and we just want to make sure that we have the ability to issue a permit for that. And right now, with the way the law is written, we don't have that ability.
Okay, thank you. So that's the full picture for item one. Okay, let's go to the next recommendation in the letter.
Okay, let me stop sharing this. All right, I go back to the letter. Hang on. Okay, so as we move down toward the last paragraph there, we talk about expanded enforcement and permitting options, requiring operating permits, making available sewage disposal technology options to meet current residential housing development pressures. We'll go down to the top of the next page. So it says Guam EPA recommends that enforcement options be expanded to provide for the ability to order water utility service to be shut off and to add administrative, civil, and criminal penalties consistent with other laws which provide enforcement authority to the agency.
So this is a change to the law or rules and regs? Kristen said you're muted, Brian.
Is he muted?
Yeah,
he's
muted.
Brian? Hey everybody, I'm gonna have to get off the phone right now. I'm having a problem here with my family. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
I could answer that question for you, though.
Okay.
It would require a change to the law
to
change your enforcement options.
Okay. So, basically, it's building off topic one, whereas if there's an issue with maintenance, you can shut it off. Is that the idea?
Yeah, and that what I understand is that that will minimize, you know, the environmental damage that's being caused.
Okay.
The other thing is, I think currently under this this particular chapter, there's no administrative, there's no option to impose administrative penalties. So that would be something that would expand your, you know, enforcement capability. The
That's
agency
like
could do that.
Fines or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this being done elsewhere?
You mean like in other jurisdictions?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about, I'm not sure, but I know the ability to order the water to be shut off is because it's part of the that international code.
Mm-hmm.
It's included in there. It's like a, you know, assumption, I think, that's built into that code, is that the that there's the authority to do that.
Okay. And we don't have anyone else from water to pick this up?
No, right now.
Okay. We'll just go through it quickly. I think the next topic is the next paragraph right under the Guam EPA recommends, where it talks about, as you're aware, confusion exists between requirements of the GWQS and interpretations of minimum lot sizes. So that's topic 3. So then it goes, Guam EPA recommends in bold. And then, so is that the last major topic? There's 3 main things going on here.
Right, and then this has to do with just clarifying about the lot size requirements. And I think the only confusion, I think, is just that Guam EPA has had for quite some time has allowed that exception for lots that are divided by a parental subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, we've seen that that's become the majority of lots being divided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, item 1 and item 2 pretty much seem to basically get Guam's laws and codes in line with the adopted national standard. And then topic 3 is something we probably need Brian here for. Danny's a new board member, so he needs to be brought up to speak fully on this one, as well. Just continuing discussion for the rest of us. So, want to continue this later, or next meeting?
This portion, or are you saying you want to continue it at this meeting?
Not continue to the meeting,
okay.
But discussion of topic 3 when Brian and the team's available.
We can pick that back up.
Hey Steve, what's up? You're on mute. You're on mute.
I think we need Brian here to be able to ask him some questions that I'm thinking he's going to be able to address or only be able to address.
Yeah.
Some of the ones that I have right off the bat, and I don't know, he said that a lot of our, or a lot of the property owners are being held up. They can't build their houses because of the existing laws up there above the aquifer. And I'm wondering if he's saying individual people or is he saying developers? And I'd like to know, if he had any idea about that, I'd like to know what he could tell me about that. Next thing I'd say is about the type 2 with the amended toilet with the holding tank and all. What do we do if someone gets one of these things above the aquifer and all of a sudden they say, hey, I can't afford to run it? You know, or is there, I'm sure there's a bypass on the thing where they can shut off the holding tank I'm just thinking of things that could potentially harm the aquifer up there, and I'm just concerned about that.
So that's why That would have to come with changes that would require operating permits, and also changes that would allow those additional enforcement options, such as you know being able to order the water to be shut off, because that would solve the problems that would come from people not continuing to comply. So it's sort of a whole package thing. And as far as developers, I mean, you know, there's still requirements when a developer subdivides property, and you know when you're trying to build develop a whole bunch of lots at the same time. The problem it won't solve is when all of the checks get bypassed, and you end up with smaller lots anyway. Like, for example, if the court orders a distribution of an estate and they chop it up into smaller pieces than what can support septic system. So like they say, okay, you know. We're going to split it up like this, but they're not requiring the sewer to be put in, but the sewer has to be put in before they can develop it. It won't solve that problem. Okay. I don't know if that answers some of the questions that you have.
Well, that would be the solution, is to require sewers in everywhere up there. And I'm going to go back to something I read last month, or the month before, is originally above the aquifer, the rule was that there shouldn't be more than one septic tank per 3 acres.
Right.
And now we're talking about quarter acres. And in a perfect world where everybody follows the rules and is concerned about what they're doing to the groundwater and stuff, this will work. But there's a couple problems we have at Guam EPA. We don't, right now, the manpower is not there to enforce the rules that are on the books now. And now we want to do more permitting and, and going out to these places and checking these systems to make sure they're being maintained. I understand people want to build on their lots and things like that. I just think we have to think long term rather than, you know, what we can do, you know, this year or whatnot. We got to think way down the road and make sure that aquifer is going to be good 20 years from now for our kids and things like that. And Brian already said that the nitrates are going up all over the island, so something's going on, and that's a scary thing.
People are already building on these smaller lots, and that's already a problem. And so I think looking at getting these, allowing these alternative systems wherever people might want to put them in, and also expanding those enforcement options, I think are very important pieces of the whole overall picture. I think right now, we're so limited in what the agency can approve because of the narrow definition of a septic system and leaching field.
Okay, so we're going to change the rules so that people who are already breaking the rules now follow the rules? You see what I'm saying? I mean, we're kind of... Okay, I see on page 2, paragraph 5, it says that EPA recognizes that people are abusing or already building these things up there. So now, to make it to where they're not breaking the law, we're going to change the law and allow these guys to build these things. I don't agree with the way that works.
It would allow people to continue to build on parental subdivided lots if they use these these different systems that could remove more of the nitrates.
Again, if they do the upkeep, Brian was saying it's $100 per, couple hundred dollars per load.
For a holding tank, that's different.
you know, the in the holding tanks or whatnot. What, you know, that would be tough for me to be able to afford to, you know, get someone to come out to my property, you know, twice a month, even once a month to, you know, to empty the tank and then throw them a couple hundred dollars. And that's a couple hundred dollars now. What's it going to be in 10 years?
I think there's some confusion because the holding tank is a separate thing. The holding tank wouldn't be these type 4 systems that would be required on smaller lots. The holding tank part comes into play on lots that, like, right now cannot be, you can't have a septic system for whatever reason, and that's, you know, something Brian could speak to. But there are some situations where a holding tank might be a better solution, but only if it was, you know, together with requiring an operating permit, which is not, you know, something that the law contemplates right now because holding tanks aren't allowed, but also expanding those enforcement options. So when all of those things are put together, but it's not, nobody was talking about having holding tanks on these smaller lots. It would be to require the those nitrate reducing systems on the smaller lots.
With a maintenance plan.
Right, and with the operating permit.
And that's topic 3. And those are the main ones, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes into 1, 2. Yeah, yes, that's the topic 3.
Okay, so for me, I'd like to wait till Brian's back to continue this. Is that, are you doing
that?
I
agree. Yeah, it's okay. Kind of a big decision. It's
yep. Cool. Any other comments regarding this septic system topic?
Quiet.
Thank you, Jesse. Oh, can you open the chat box if anyone's been chiming in?
Oh, that was Brian that was talking at that time. That question came in.
The cord type 1 is an OB. Okay. Cool. All right, that's, I think we got all the, we looked at all the questions. All right. Anyone else have any comments for any other part of the meeting? All right, hearing none. Our next meeting will be third Thursday of September. With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll make a second that motion to adjourn.
All right, thank you. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.